welcome on this beautiful March 27th, and we are here to receive together the blessings of Christ. And as we do that, to share blessings with one another, realizations, enlightenment, and aspirations for a higher place in and within our consciousness and within the collective consciousness that we share, that we may fulfill our highest potential and achieve a kind of wealth in high places that Yeshua talked about. He said, don't store your wealth up down here where thieves can break in. And I'm sure he elaborated even further on how that just simply generates greed and possessiveness and competition and the states of mind that actually prevent us from achieving and acquiring our true wealth. And one of the things that I have noticed in my own life as I've progressed from my first visitation with Yeshua in 1991. Now, I have to roll back and say, that's not the first time I knew him. I have known him since I was a child, but it was an elusive knowledge. It was a knowledge that seemed to be permissioned through the church or through those who seemed to know more about him than I did, or through the Bible or other sacred text. And so I had a pathway of knowing him. Sometimes in prayer, I would feel a direct spiritual encounter that was undeniable. And yes, I had a deep personal love that guided me according to his teachings all of my life. But the first experience of direct encounter, direct knowledge, occurred in 1991. And I'm sure that it was by his will and his determination that it was all set in motion, because frankly, I was rather frightened. I don't mean in the sense of reactive fear, but in the sense that the prophet said, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And they were talking about awe. They were talking about reverence for the unresolvable, mysterious realm that we can never define, but which defines us, and to stand in our reverence in its presence. And I was so much in that cautious reverence that I was reluctant to actually receive. And that's really, really what I want to help you understand, is because all of us in the presence of God can be reluctant to receive, because in the world, in the worldly world, things like things that can really change our life, our first response is, well, this has to be too good to be true. In other words, we approach it with doubt, we approach it with reservation, and we will say things like, well, what's wrong with this package? These are just human defense mechanisms that flare up in our face. And they flare up in our face, unfortunately, also in the presence of the divine, because we want to say, well, is this real? Can I trust it? Can I really receive? And our willingness to receive usually proceeds in layers. It usually proceeds in layers of realization, layers of benefit and benevolent acquiring of the blessings coming to us. And it also comes in layers of innocent perception, and which Yeshua talked about in Love Without End, and layers of just surrender to the idea that, well, maybe there's someone or something that really can help me if I would only inhale, if I would only just relax and receive. And that's the spirit that I want to encourage you to have in the blessings, not just in the receiving of the energy, but in learning from your fellow receivers and your fellow blessing givers who are also on this path. But there's one other factor that I want to bring in today, and this is the first time I've mentioned it. And it has to do with spiritual wealth. And this gets back to what Yeshua was saying about store up your wealth in high places where thieves cannot break through and steal, and where all of the negative, competitive, possessive inclinations of human beings simply don't apply. I don't know if your experiences have been like mine, but sometimes when I am in a very high place of consciousness, usually as a result of prayer or having communed with Yeshua, or just simply awakened in the middle of a dream that took me to these high places of wonder, I'll notice this beautiful, radiant energy. It's almost like gold dust. And it's filled with adamantine particles, with love, with all kinds of spiritual benefit. And when I was younger in this path, I would look at it as simply the wealth of the universe. But as I grew in understanding, I realized it was the wealth I had built up from the work I was doing, from the service I'd done to others, things I'd never been paid for on this earth, love I'd given that had never been reciprocated, gestures of kindness that were not mutual, but they were given unconditionally. And I was beginning to see this wealth in high places. And it was really quite awesome. I really didn't know what to make of it at first. And then I began to wonder, well, if this is the wealth from the highest of the high, protected by the blessings of God, then how am I to use this appropriately? And it was really in the 4 years between Yeshua's coming to me and experiencing all of this that I came to the decision that I should use this to create more wealth of the same kind. And I invested that wealth in creating conversations with Jesus and love without end, which then created more wealth of that sort, which then allowed the keys of Yeshua to be created, and all of the seminars and the gifting, and most of the time, actually, on this worldly plane, I worry about how the bills will be paid every month. But I never worry anymore ever, about how more blessed creation will occur. Because A, I know that I have the blessings of God in doing it. B, I have the guidance and inspiration and companionship of Yeshua. I have the protection of my angels. I have friends among so many, many other spiritually guided people on this earth doing similar work and wanting another companion on the path. I have no worries about that. I just keep taking the wealth and investing it, taking the wealth and investing it. Even when I was in pain that was almost beyond tolerance last year before the surgery I went through, I asked Yeshua for help, and he came. And when he came, he brought not only his wealth, but I'm sure he brought back some of mine as well, some of the wealth I had set in high places, and surrounded me with the blessings every day to be able to work without the use of heavy drugs. Because, see, I was in a terrible problem. If I used the heavy drugs that were sufficient to kill the pain, they also reduced my consciousness. If I was in the pain, then I was so distracted and absorbed by pain, I couldn't do my work, much less walk. So it was a conundrum. And it was Yeshua's blessing to me that allowed me to understand how to take the wealth in high places and to offer it back to the earth. Now, this is a very important thing for the blessing givers to learn, but it's also important for all of you receiving blessings to learn. You blessing givers, I know from your letters, have felt a sense of depletion because you gave and gave and gave, hour upon hour during the Japan crisis, which is still a crisis for the Japanese and the rest of us, and a harbinger of other crises that may be yet to come. And so I know some of you are feeling depleted. Some of you are needing more grounding, more healing, and solace for yourself. Well, what I suggest you do today is you receive a blessing. And just know that between Yeshua, myself, all of your angels and guides, not to mention the Holy Spirit and God, there is plenty of spiritual wealth to come down and refurnish your earthly coffers of wealth so that you can be healed and you can be resupplied with all the energy you need. And in the future, it's very, very important to surrender your own personality. You see, this is what Yeshua did on the cross. He died in persona. And it's very important that you surrender your personality. Otherwise, in the process of giving blessings, it will be your personal energy that also goes into the blessing, and you can be left very depleted. So this is why you must surrender all egoic self. It's that you are merely the grounding wire. You're merely the connection to the earth. Now, those of you who are receiving the blessing, it's also very important that you too surrender your personality. I ask that you join me in prayer as the blessing begins. I will give my prayer to Yeshua. Then the energy will be conveyed for 3 minutes, and I ask you to be in prayer. Now, it would be only normal to ask your prayers from the standpoint of human need, human concern, human hurt. You may have friends who are sick. You yourself may need healing. You may feel lost. You may feel disoriented or worried and fear and want to be lifted into peace. So it's only natural that you would ask your prayers from that. But at the same time, be prepared when you end your prayer and you go into your silent moment that you surrender all personality. Put your mind over there on the bench. Your mind is not a player in this. And remember, your mind is the chief number one player in all your stories and in your personality. Put it on the bench. Let it rest and begin to receive in ways that your personality cannot even know you need. You see, one of the problems in receiving is that when we receive only from personality, we're receiving into probably a situation that has a problem because it may not be the right situation for us. It's to step aside and bring in another wise teacher, the Buddha. He recommended that we choose right pathway, right work, right words. In other words, it was an eightfold path, and it always it ultimately came back to us making the right choices for our life. Now, in the words of Yeshua, in the pathways to success, he would say, do the right thing. Unfortunately, we tend to interpret that too much in a moral sense, as in, well, do the moral thing. But he meant that also in the same way that Buddha would say, choose the right path, choose the right work, choose the right words, choose the right friends, choose the right environment. In other words, be discerning in how you create your life. And often when we are receiving only from personality, we're receiving into a bucket that has holes in it because it's been created around maybe a wrong situation, wrong work, alliances, friendships, situations that don't work for us. And we have to surrender that so that the greater wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the greater guidance of Yeshua, and the magnificent love and endless creation of God can supply our sacred wealth, the wealth from high places, like rain upon the earth, bringing it back to the world for us, but not putting it into containers that don't work or venues that don't work. You see, one of the loving things about our Creator is like a good parent. He kind of sets aside a trust fund that is not accessible to misuse. And the wealth in high places is kind of guarded by the angels and the Holy Spirit and God to be wisely used for our benefit and really inaccessible. Let's just say you were a parent and you could put, you had $1 million to put in your child's trust fund. You just simply wouldn't make it accessible for that child to get into for buying drugs or for gambling or for other types of destructive living. You would make it, you might have an executor of that trust fund who would really review the applications of the child on how that money was used. And there would be certain guidelines that would indicate that wealth was being used for right purposes, right work, right relationships, and so forth. So when we bring too much personality into our receivership, we're often bringing too much baggage that has come from wrong work, wrong relationships, wrong attitudes, bad attitudes, resentment, competitiveness, lack of forgiveness, harshness, and so forth. And this actually blocks our receivership. And you may be saying, as I'm talking about this, well, if the wealth from high places is mine, why can't I use it any way I want to? Of course you can. But the wealth on high places, you personally created the rules for between your lives or before your life when you yourself was in a high place. And when you yourself were in a high place, you didn't set it aside or establish the rules for misuse. So you're a participant in establishing the rules of how your wealth in high places can be used. And when you were in high places, you weren't in a personality. Think about all the infants you have known. Whether you've had children or not, at some point in your life, I'm sure you've held an infant. And when you held that infant, you held a sacred person who was pre-personality. Now that doesn't mean that little girl or little boy didn't have a twinkle in their eye that was unique or a sense of presence that was like no other. Yes, we are each unique as a soul. Our love is unique. But as you watch the child grow somewhere between day one and age of three, you can see the development of personality. And that personality is made up of all the funny things, the cute things, interesting things, loving things, and also the aspects of attitude, where their position is in the family, as in first child, last child, middle child, whether they're short, tall, inclined to be very coordinated or not coordinated, sense of humor, not sense of humor, their talents, and so forth. And the personalities get built around all of these things. So you begin to notice that little personality emerging. Well, that little personality is there for the rest of their life, but also what's there for the rest of the life is the immortal, unassailable, eternally known soul that is the love that they are. The love, the nature of that being that transcends all personality. Now, it's that personae that actually put the guidelines on your wealth and high places before you came into this life. So I highly recommend that in receiving the blessings, you realize that not only are these blessings coming from God, the Holy Spirit, Yeshua, Mother Earth, the angels, your guides in high places, but it's also coming from you in your own high place of being. Okay? And that's an aspect of receivership. And I say this till we were a little bit more mature in receiving the blessings, but it's definitely something that the blessing givers should focus on and be very, very mindful of. But anyone receiving blessings, even if, let's say, yes, we can say all of this is very relevant to receiving a blessing from Yeshua, but even if you just wanted to go to the bank and ask for a loan, do you know how important it is when you walk up to that loan officer to walk up to him without all of your issues and your baggage and really have a clear plan that is thought out from the highest level of your intelligence, the highest level of your purpose, your intention? Do you know how much more confidence you're going to instill in that person? Okay, so even in worldly issues, the you in high places is the one that holds the purse strings, not just of material wealth, but of intangible wealth, heavenly wealth, the wealth of your body, the wealth of your health, the wealth of your spirit, the wealth of your happiness. It's the you in high places. And you're there also as an a giver to yourself in this blessing. And you give to yourself by receiving from the strength and the clarity of that place of being. Okay, today, just as it turns out, I guess I felt it more important for me to move into the message because this was an important message to offer. But I want to open up for a little bit of sharing, and the key word for sharing is 5-star, and we have Tom on the line. Tom, I'd love to hear how you're doing.
Hi, it is Tom from Chicago. How are you, Glenda?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I just wanted to call in to make the comment that I wanted to thank you for sharing what you've been given. It has been multiplied, especially in my case, very much. Some of you are aware that I had a cancer diagnosis a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And this whole experience has been just so positive. It's been, you know, take a situation like this, which might be terrifying, full of fear and depressing and all those things, and it's been nothing like that whatsoever. It's shown me my beautiful friends and all the support I have surrounding me. It's helped to bolster my faith because, you know, I went into this full of faith, and that's much to do with what you've taught me, Glenda, and you know, through your readings in the course. And I just wanted to thank you because, I mean, I went through the surgery. It went well. I had a skilled surgeon. He, you know, everything works that was supposed to work, and they have found little in the pathology. There was one lymph node that was affected out of 19, you know, so everything's going along really great. But the biggest plus in the whole thing, like I said, was the totality of the experience was one, not of fear at all. It was just opening me up to the wonders of our connectedness, you know, and how we care about each other, and it's, I just wanted to say thank you, and your blessing is being multiplied here many times over.
Oh, I'm so glad, Tom, and thank you, and actually your message follows perfectly upon my inspirational message for today, because sometimes the hardships that happen to us, whether they're physical, relationship, or financial, or whatever, the hardships that fall on us are exactly what is essential to reduce us into our high place. Now, that seems like an irony, doesn't it? But our personality goes along through life, galloping freely around, thinking that it is the high place until it's reduced to where the person who really is the person of high places arrives. And in our arriving, all of our friends arrive, our faith arrives, our love arrives, and it is not frightening at all. My sister had a similar experience to you, Tom. It was it's been about 19 years ago that she was diagnosed with lymphoma, and she was already in fourth stage when she was diagnosed, and she was given less than a year to live. Well, that's 19 years ago, because what happened is that when she actually, my sister was a person who was an extremely loving person who had given her life freely to her family and her children. But I think she really felt that she was not loved in return. And it caused her to feel smaller than she was. And she had so identified with her different service roles as a mother, a wife, a helper for her husband in their business, and a friend to her friends, etc. She had identified with her various little service roles to where she really didn't know who she was. And her diagnosis just floored the personae who was incapable of dealing with this event. And all of a sudden, the real person who had been giving all of this love showed up, and all of the friends and the family and the true essence of who she is and all the wealth she had stored in high places just poured down, because obviously it was not her time to go. She was so loved by so many. It was just simply not her time to go. And the floodgates just opened, and here she is 19 years later. And she's 19 years later, she's at the age of almost 80, she's herding cattle and driving a tractor.
That's great.
So, that boot leather toughness kind of runs in my family.
I
can tell you stories of my mother that belong in a John Wayne movie. and on into her 90s. That your story and my sister's story and so many others I've heard are really part of what I'm saying. But you see, we don't. If all of you will just set aside your personae, just set it aside right now. Just be the love that you are and receive truly from the high places. Then you can open the floodgates without having to have these reminders, these, the 2x4s on the head that remind you to do that. In some ways, I suppose, let's don't put any ego on this. It's no respecter of person. I thought I had a very high connection with Yeshua. I thought I was very highly enlightened and advanced. But obviously, I needed to be brought down by a 2x4 also, because the one thing I was not able to do in all of the work that I had shared with Yeshua through the years is I was not able to give the blessings that I'm able to give now. Not that it's from me, but it is through me, and I'm able to be a facilitator. And this was the next step that had to happen in the spiritual growth, and it took being literally knocked to my feet to open up the floodgates to receive this greater wealth. So the same thing had to happen for Buddha. Yeshua went to the desert and then died on the cross. So there's no respecter of persons. There's no ego associated with this. The fact is, sometimes we just have to be hit by that 2x4. And so, Tom, I'm really, really glad to see that you have opened the floodgates of your spiritual wealth and that you're as happy as you are and as surrounded by love as you are. And may that be true for all of us. Has anyone else come on the call with that? Let me check and see. I don't see any other questions on the call, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to move on into the blessing. And for those of you who are new, I've already said a lot about receiving the blessings. But one other thing I just want to mention is be sure and have your shoes and socks off and your feet on the floor or the ground. It's getting warm in some parts of North America and some other parts of the world, so you might be able to be outside with your feet on the earth. That's always nice. Be grounded, because what we're doing is we're flowing a very high, high energy voltage through your body. And then it will settle into the cells of your body. The cells of your body will assimilate it. It will also overflow into the very high frequency electromagnetic field around your body that supports your higher intelligence, that supports your love and your purposes in life, and gives you more personal intangible wealth to work with on this earth, more creative wealth to work with. And it will give you new understanding and new insights and new inspiration. So allow your feet to be on the floor and to be seated with your back straight, not uncomfortably straight, just in a natural curvature with your spine. Close your eyes. Allow your head to drop just slightly and your attention to go into your heart. And as I began my prayer to Yeshua, I ask that you pray your prayer. Ask for whatever is in your heart, whatever your needs are. Express your gratitude. Express your love. Whatever you wish to open up to the heavenly places of greater wealth. Allow your expressions of gratitude, praise, and your request for assistance, your expressions of trust and love, to be fully opened in your heart, however that works for you, whether it be energetic or expressed as words, or whether it just be expressed in silence. I ask that you be there now, and be there for 3 minutes. I'll let you know when the conveyance of energy is complete. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, Lord of the universe, one who has mastered the mysteries we are aspiring to know and understand, the one who helps us to use our greater intangible wealth to the highest good that is possible in our life. Thank you for being here and opening the floodgates of our life, that we may receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit, the nurturing, the care, and the love of our Creator, and the open welcome arms of our Mother Earth, who has all the secrets of our health, all the secrets of our physical well-being, and our connections, and our right place, and our right work. Thank you for connecting all of these energetic offerings, all of these offerings of love, that they may pass through our heart, body, being, soul, and our expanded life as we touch and affect the lives of others. Thank you for lifting us up to our own higher place, where we may issue our own wealth into a greater life for our own unfolding. And in that, know that we too are sons and daughters of God who are accumulating our light, our wisdom, our energy, our purpose, and our direction in this world for a greater good upon this world and a greater good in our eternal union with our Creator. Amen. The energy conveyance is complete. Now go and rest and assimilate. Be quiet and be open to all possibility. Much love, and I'll see you next week.